at stories from your word, that you would just bring them alive, that you would bring them alive in us, and you would teach us anew how to be further to be your disciples. Amen. Okay, kids, come on back down. We'll let them go. There we go. Awesome. So unfortunately, very unfortunately, I'm going to make you think of a winter scene. So it's a beautiful September day, but we're going to think about winter for a minute. And to get you to use your imaginations. So imagine it being, Nico, you're going to stay here. You're in grade three, you're going to stay here. We're just counting numbers, sorry, with Zoya back there. We're managing a bunch of pieces this morning. Our Sunday school teachers are at the retreat, so this is what we're doing this morning. Thanks, everyone. So it's a winter's day. You're going to use your imagination. It's really, really snowy. It's very, very windy. It's a Sunday. We've all gathered at church, and during the time that we've been worshiping together, the snow has started to accumulate. More and more snow is falling. The roads are now thick with snow. The plows have not yet been able to come and plow the roads. And just outside the doors here, this parking lot, it's getting more and more snow. The snow is getting high underneath the snow. It's icy. Our cars are getting covered with snow and ice. It's what we don't like to go to from worship service. And the kids are delighted, though, because when we leave this building, there is a lot of snow. So the kids are squealing with delight. They're throwing some snowballs at each other. They're rolling around. So there is snow, and there are squeals. And as people get into their cars to head home, the tires start spinning in some of the cars. And unfortunately, three families get stuck. They just can't get the traction they need to get out of this parking lot. And you're there. And you see this, and what do you do? Let's just hear, what might you do? Some youth can throw in some ideas, adults, what do you do? What do you have to offer? Deanna? You help each other. How much? What do we have that we could offer help with? Snow shovel. Ryan? A push. We've got some physical strength. What else do we have around us? I want you to think about, what do we have around us that we could help with? Sorry? Yeah. I think we might have some sand, maybe. There's a box out there. Someone might have a little shovel in your car if you're really safety winter conscious. You have others that you could say, hey, Ryan and Daniel, can you come on over and help me push this car? Jeff, you might gather a couple others and go to car number two. I'm sure someone has a cell phone. They might check in and say, Jeff and Vanessa, do you have CAA? It seems like you're really stuck. Let's make a phone call on your behalf. We can be friends. We can stand around and talk. So someone's got to drive the car, but other people might take someone's children. The building is still open. Maybe there's some coffee left. Come on back in. Have a cup of coffee. So these are all the things that we can offer, and we're hoping within 15 minutes. We all are on our way. CAA quickly comes to Chandler Moat Community Center, and we get things figured out, and we're all on our way. So now, actually, we're not on our way yet, because we're now all outside. There's 20 of us have gone outside, and we're in the parking lot, and as we look around and in front of us on Chandler Drive, we see now that other cars are getting stuck. And we see a woman across, and some of us know her. Her name is Barlene. Some of us know she has a part-time job, that if she doesn't get there, she might lose her job. That's kind of the risk of having these part-time jobs that aren't super, super stable. And Barlene is trying to shovel all this snow away that has fallen. Her car is covered in snow. And we also see that her kids are out there and they don't have any mitts or hats on and they're getting cold. So I'm wondering again, what do we have to offer to Barlene? What do we have to offer? Ryan, a ride. Awesome. So we can say, can I help you get to your part-time job? That's awesome. She's not going to be late. So that is a great. We can offer her physical strength, right? We can help her shovel. We can offer our companionship. Hey, Barlene, sorry you're having a rough day. It's no fun. We can look at her kids and see there's no hats and mitts. And we can remember, and now you will remember, that often we have a package, a box of hats and mitts at the center. And so we can ask the front desk, or you can come to myself and say, hey, do we have some hats and mitts that we can send over to Barlene's kids? Because if it's Sunday, Monday is probably going to be equally cold, and getting to school with cold hands is no fun at all. So we can offer a warm greeting. We can offer our physical strength. We can maybe offer some coffee that we have left, and we can offer Barlene a ride to work. We can make a difference in someone's life on that morning. Hebrews 13:16 says, don't forget to do good and to share what you have, because God is pleased with these kind of sacrifices. So in this passage, there are two instructions for we who are the followers of Jesus. First, don't forget to do good. Like, it's really a great instruction. Don't forget to do good. This actually means, like, don't neglect doing good. It also means, like, don't stop caring for the well-being of others. Just don't, please, followers of Jesus. And the second thing, it says to share what you have. This means to give freely, to give a portion of what you have. And I love the beautifulness of God, because when God says to us, don't forget to do good and don't forget to share what you have, then we are reminded that God is pleased with these things. That we, when we share, when we give, when we don't forget to do good, that somehow that brings delight to our Creator's heart. God feels good. God feels joy. God feels worshiped. God feels pleased with those who are His followers. I think that's awesome. Because sometimes I don't always need to know when A to B happens, what goes on in there, but sometimes I do like to know. And when I think of caring for others and that puts a smile or a warmth in God, that's an awesome way that we can offer praise to God. And delighting our Creator, I think, is an amazing gift that God allows us to do. But a question that is also embedded in this scripture is, what do I have to share? What is it that I have to share? Because we say, don't forget to do good and to share what you have. So then I have to know, really, what is it that we have to share? It's a super meaningful question to ask yourself, to sit around a table with your family, to look at your workplaces, to go to youth group and figure out, what do we as a youth group have to share and to offer others? And what do we as a faith community have to offer? What do I have to share? What do you have to share? And what do we have to share? In community development, we might call these community assets. And these are anything that we can use to improve the quality of life for anyone, for everyone. So assets are like our resources. And so some examples of assets are knowledge, like our skills, their talents, there are finances, their shelter or property, their people. So people become a beautiful resource, and also just really practical resources. To this, we can add the assets of love, of compassion, of kindness, and of hope. We can add advocacy, standing with someone, standing for someone. And so when we look at our assets and our resources, we are looking at our strengths, and then we're looking at the opportunities that we have to contribute these, to share these, for doing good and for delighting God. And so God has designed each one of us with our own unique gifts, with our talents, and with our resources. And He has also drawn us as His followers together into this community that's called the church. And then He has given within this community assets or resources, gifts and talents, to care for one another and to care for others, which again, delights the heart of God. In Acts 2, we read the description of the very, very first church. So we're just finishing up our series today on the church. And it seems like very quickly, a community of the followers of Jesus formed. It doesn't look like months and months and months. It seemed like they came to an understanding of Jesus and they joined together and they became what we know as the church. And so as they formed together, they had to have determined what resources they had. And we're going to read Acts 2 to see that they figured out what resources they had. It talks about that they pooled them together and that they met the needs of many, both their own needs, so the needs of the church, the people within the church, and the needs of those outside of the church. And they met physical needs and they met spiritual needs. Acts 2 says, they, representing the church, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. And everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. All the believers were together, and they had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. Every day, they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes, and they ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. So, what were some of the assets of the early church? Think about that for a second. We've just heard this passage. It's up on the screen. Read through it. What were some of the assets, some of the resources, some of the gifts of the early church? I've come up with my list, and I'm going to share it. And then you're going to do a little bit of this later on where I'm not going to share my list. So some of the assets, the resources of the early church, their devotion to the teaching of Jesus, that was something they had that was really good. They had prayer as a resource. They had the resource of community, of gathering together. They had property and they had possessions. So they had those physical resources. Then they had a willingness to sell and a generosity to share. So those are beautiful assets. They had joy in community. So when they were together, they met with glad and sincere hearts. They were obviously a place of welcome because it said that more and more and more were added. And so they welcomed people and they received new believers, which is, there's two great gifts in this. People became followers of Jesus, so they obviously looked at the church and saw something that they said, we want to be followers of Jesus, and they had heard of Jesus through teachings, and they welcomed new believers. And so when we look at this, when we look at the gifts and the talents and the resources that have been given, as we share them and as we contribute to the greater good, again, we're remembering that we're bringing delight to God. And again, in Acts 2, in the early church, delight to God were people saying, yes, I want to follow God. So I am going to invite you to pause. Many of you are with people that you know. If not, join with a group of people. And I want you to think of five talents, gifts, or resources that you've been given. So they're within your reach or within your being. So kids and youth, I'm going to invite you to do this. If you're with a family, I'd invite you to do this as a family, to think about what gifts, talents, or resources have we been given that can support the goodness, the wellness of someone else. So take a few minutes to do that and see. Kids, you can definitely join in this. I'll join with you too. That make sense? Try to come up with five. this is an exercise that Terry and I did with Jordan and Mallory regularly. We would sit as a family, sometimes at the beginning of the school year, halfway through the school year, and we'd say, what do we have as a family that we might be able to use to share, to bring delight to God with others and with each other? And we were often surprised by what our kids would tell us that we had, that we could share. And Terry and I have learned in our lifetime that we have more to share than we know, than when we look around and then when we begin to think about what we have. So right now, one of the gifts Terry has is being a good driver. And so he's supporting a young woman in learning how to drive, because she doesn't have anybody who can teach her to drive, and she really wants to get her driver's license. It's a simple thing. It wouldn't be simple for me. I would not drive with a teenager. Sorry, guys. But it's a resource that Terry has that he can offer for the good of someone else. Ella and Claire were saying that they could say kind words at school, that they could help someone. I said that they could share their lunch, and Claire said, no, we can't. We're not allowed to share lunches at school. So forgive me for that one, parents. But what they reminded me is in the school, there's a basket of food usually. So we could walk with a friend to say, if you're hungry and you need a granola bar, I'll walk with you. And so you won't be hungry during the school day. So I invite you as families and as individuals to grow this list of assets within yourself so you can think about them on a daily basis and be able then to contribute them readily within the church, within your workplaces, in your schools, in your community. In Mark 2, we read another story. And it says, a few days later, when Jesus again entered Capernaum, I can't say it today, the people heard that he had come home. They gathered in such large numbers that there was no room left, not even outside the door, and he preached the word to them. Some men came, bringing to him a paralyzed man, carried by four of them. Since they could not get him to Jesus because of the crowd, they made an opening in the roof above Jesus by digging through it, and then lowered the mat the man was lying on. And when Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralyzed man, son, your sins are forgiven. And then there's a bunch of grumbling. We're not going to read about that today. The religious leaders got a little bit grumpy. And then Jesus says to the man, I tell you, get up, take your mat, and go home. And he got up, and he took his mat, and he walked out in full view of them all. And this amazed everyone, and they praised God, saying, we have never seen anything like this. What they did, they offered praise to God. God was delighted and offered a healing to this man. So I want us to look at this passage for a second and look at some of the assets or some of the resources that the paralyzed man's friends shared with him. So Wazir, before you go, in this story, what are some of the assets that you see that these four men had? They had hope. And they had community. Ben, what assets do you see? Right, they had construction skills to get someone through the roof. Frank, physical strength. They were strong enough to lift this man. Rocco? Tenacity. Okay. I think that they also had a mat. Someone had a mat. Someone had a shovel. Someone had a rope. And they shared it. They certainly had creativity. They had these construction skills, and I'm going to guess there was an engineer amongst them because the building didn't fall through when they cut a hole in the roof. So that's a really, really good thing. This week at youth, Eli and Hazel, were you at youth this week? You guys learned how to make really secure knots. So I think these guys knew how to make a knot, so their friend didn't come crashing to the floor. So we had a skill set there. They had a love for their friend. Oh man, they had a deep love for the friend. They had a belief in Jesus' ability to heal. I think they had courage. Like, there were tons of people there. And they're probably like, you know, saying, we got to get through this crowd. And then like, well, forget getting through the crowd. We are going to go up on the roof. We're going to cut a hole in Frank's house roof. And Frank's like, really? That's my roof. Not thinking that's great. But all of a sudden in Frank's house, a healing happens. So a hole in your roof or a healing. Where does your focus go? Hopefully on the healing. And they had a lot of faith. They really had this faith that if we bring this person to Jesus, Jesus is going to do a really, really good thing. He's going to heal our friend. So I want you to imagine if you were the paralyzed man. So one of the things that you lacked, one of the many things that you lacked, was the ability to get to the house where Jesus was. That just wasn't something that you could get up and do. And so what a great gift it is when your friends say, well, we're going to get you to Jesus. That's what we're going to be able to do. And as your friends support you, a healing comes in your life. And I also don't want you to imagine if you were the paralyzed man's friend, that you loved your friend and that you were loved back. You likely visited with this friend. You gave and you received. And in your heart, you desired healing for your friend. And you believed that healing came from Jesus and Jesus was in your town. And so you gather. Maybe it was Daniel, and Daniel said, let me get three other friends. Or maybe it's always a group of four of you that go and hang out with your buddy. And so you get together and you make a plan, and this is just the plan. You're just going to get this man to Jesus, get him on a mat, and get him to Jesus. But then there's this big hurdle in the way, because now you can't get into the house. You can't get inside to see Jesus. But you're really, really determined. You are determined that if you bring your friend to Jesus, something good is going to happen. And so you stop. I think they probably brainstormed. They came up with a plan, and they succeeded in bringing their friend to Jesus. In the passage that Rocco read this morning, we meet a woman of God, and she is in distress. Her husband, he's a man of faith. He was a part of God's community, the community of prophets. And her husband has died, and she is left alone with her two sons. And if you remember, she had family debt. And so the legal system at the time is one that we can be thankful that we do not live under. So at the time, you were not allowed to declare bankruptcy, but what she had to do was she had to give up her sons. I've read that she had to give her sons up for a year so that they became servants of someone else to work off the debt that she was left with. Can you imagine? Her husband has died. She's already, her sons may be taken away to become servants. And she cries out to Elisha, this holy man of God, seeking his help. And then she calls out to him, and then Elisha begins with the question that many of us might ask as well. He says, how can I help you? This is the man of God, like, how can I help you? It might be the question that we ask, or we could say, how can I help you? We don't know the tone that he used. And then he begins to assess what is available. What do you have in your house? She doesn't have anything. She only has a jar, a small jar of olive oil. So it's not very much at all. And now Elisha begins to think of what else she has. Well, she has neighbors. She has a community. She has people who were grieving with her that her husband has died. They might be terrified that they have debt and their sons will be taken away. So they have this fear with her because they know this law. And so then Elisha says to this woman, would you trust in the goodness of your neighbors? I'm going to invite you to trust. And so she went and she knocked on doors of neighbors and she'd asked for empty jars. He didn't ask her to ask for money to pay off the debt. He didn't say, could you get your neighbors to give you some bread and some soup? He didn't say, could you go and have them hide your sons? He He simply said, could you ask them for empty jars? If someone knocks on my door and asks for an empty jar, I always say, what are you going to do with the empty jar? I would always ask, what are you going to do with the empty jar? And here we'd have this woman in front of us saying, oh, as you know, my husband died. And they're going to come and take my sons away. And I just have olive oil. But this prophet of God, this man of God says, collect jars. Do you have any jars? I have a lot of jars. Here are my jars. Oh, I have a big jar. Oh, I'm sorry. I just have a little jar. But all these jars are given to this woman, and she takes them back to her home, to her sons, and then they're invited to close the door and to stay there. And these jars, they're filled. Every single jar is filled from this oil. This woman did not create more and more oil. The man of God did not create more and more oil. God created more and more oil. But he did this through his prophet. He did this through the goodness and the generosity of neighbors giving a jar. And he filled all of these bottles with oil. And then she went and she told the man of God that all the jars were full. And he said, now go, sell the oil and pay your debts. You and your sons can live on what is left. So God has given her a resource. He has given her an asset that she can go and sell. And in return, she gets to stay with her sons and have her needs met by God. And so let us not forget to do good. Let us share what we have, because God is pleased with these things and with these kinds of sacrifices. And the goodness of God is created over and over and over again in people's lives. I really hope that the neighbors of the widow, that they joined in and that they celebrated God's goodness, and that they celebrated how her life had been made easier, and that her sons were able to stay home with her, all because they gave an empty jar. An empty jar that God made full. So generosity, sharing and knowing our assets, it really, I believe, is what should define all of us as followers of Jesus. And as we give freely of our time and of our money and of our empty jars, whatever that means in our situations, that we're demonstrating our reliance on God and our trust in God's unlimited resources and God's unlimited goodness, and how he invites us to bless others through us. So as a band comes forward, it's just that thought again to say, what assets do you have? What has God given you to offer him great delight for the good of others, both here in the gathering church and in the many, many places in this community that you go to be? Let's pray together. God, in Hebrews 11, you say that generous persons will prosper, that those who refresh others will themselves be refreshed. And I think, God, there's a reminder here for us this morning that it's not we don't give only to receive, but you say to us that when we give, we do receive. And you receive praise and delight. God, help us to be creative and to be generous and to know what gifts and talents and resources you have given to us for your delight and for the good of each other. Amen.
Thought of us. just before the world began to breathe. You knew our names before we came to be. You saw the very day we'd fall away from you, how desperately we need to be redeemed. Lord Jesus, come lead us. We're desperate for your touch. Oh, great and mighty one, with one desire we come, that you would reign, that you would reign. We're lost unless you guide us with your love. Lord Jesus, come lead us. We're desperate for your touch. Oh, great and mighty one, with one desire we come.
With our service today, with many people away, so we're really grateful for everyone. I would ask if we could all maybe grab a couple of chairs to put away at the end of this service. That would be super helpful. There's some cookies at the back to enjoy and conversation together. In Hebrews it says, "Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially to those who belong to the family of believers. May you not become weary of doing good. May you be refreshed by God's love and generosity towards you. Go in God's peace this morning. Amen.